I certainly do pray for each of you to have good health. I don't like to hear about people being sick and suffering. So, yes, I will keep each of you in my prayers for that. Today I want to take a look at some verses in Mark chapter 7 and talk a little bit about that. I only have one page of notes. It's not even that many notes on there. So, but there's a lot packed in here, so it might take me a while to get through all this. If you turn to me to Mark chapter 7, I want to start by saying that I can remember as a little kid in a small town, rural community, that I didn't hear about a lot of real nasty stuff happening in our society. I grew up, you could almost say that maybe I was sheltered from it, but there just wasn't access to the rest of the world what was going on, except for maybe if you spent a lot of time reading the newspaper and looking for it. And yet, even in our newspaper in our small town, there was a lot of good things printed in there about, just good things that happen in your community, and they used to report that. And probably if you looked, 50 to 100 years ago, you would have a pretty good case that most human beings were decent people, right? That there was goodness of man, that people were inherently good, and that there were some that were evil out there. The Hitlers of this world and so on and so forth. But with our great modern technology, we can get world news immediately at our fingertips any time of the day, an instant update when anything happens around the world, and instant and bombard or constantly bombarded with media from people that want to push their agenda. And we can obviously see that people are, and you would have a hard time making a case that people are inherently good. In fact, we see that most people, or a lot of people, are very evil in this world. And we see evil that just, it boggles the mind. It boggles the mind when I see some of the news flashes, the shootings in schools. I just can't fathom that desire to kill innocent young people. And the list could go on, and we could spend all day talking about the evils of this world. And 50 or 100 years ago, we might have been blinded to that, but evil has existed from the beginning, right from the garden. Our hearts. The evil nature of mankind is obvious, and with modern media, cameras everywhere, we can see that everybody's got a cell phone, and you can see all kinds of stuff taking place nowadays, can't you? You almost can't even look on your cell phone without an ad popping up that is some sort of, speaks to your sensuality and things like that. But it's ordinary people. You see, seemingly ordinary people doing extraordinary evil things in this world. And if you do a little bit of research, psychology would tell you that it is an example of outside influence. Okay, an example of your environment that causes you to do these types of things. How you grew up, or this person was a troubled child growing up. They're come from a divided home. You can make an excuse for all kinds of things to take place. And it was in its exterior forces upon you that would explain why you have these evil thoughts or evil desires. That's what psychology would say. That's what doctors would say. Somebody who is we talked a little bit about that in class downstairs. Somebody who is now an authority on the subject would say, well, it's because of their environment that they're in that they choose to act out these evil thoughts and desires. But that is not at all what Scripture says. That's not what Jesus said. what defiles a person? What makes us unclean? Where does our evil thoughts and intentions come from? And I want to look at verses 14 through 23 today, 14 of Mark chapter 7. We will also look at a little bit at the parallel to this, which is in Matthew 15, and a few other verses as well. But Jesus says, he called all the people to him and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. So it's not what goes in, it's not the experience that you have, but it's what is coming out of you that makes you unclean. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, then are you also without And when he entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable, asked him about that. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean, and he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. I was watching a video. And our lesson last week, Thessalonians, talked about people being deceived and not knowing the truth. And so me and a few guys at work were watching this documentary called What is a Woman? And it's from the Daily Wire group, if y'all are familiar with any of them. And this gentleman goes and he asks all kinds of different people, and some of them, you know, are professors and whatnot. And these people that are deceived, these people that are deceived of the truth, and that's really what Jesus is talking about here, is the truth. People that are deceived of the truth refuse. They refuse to answer that question. Now, we could answer that question. A woman is an adult female. You know, is an adult female. That's a woman. Okay? She has female genitals. But the people that he asked refused to answer that question. And in that refusal, they deny the truth, and they get angry about it, and they refuse to answer him all through this documentary, and it just befuddled me. But their hearts are deceived, and out of their heart comes this non-truth. So Jesus is responding here. Really, he's responding to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people who were teaching that you must be ceremonially clean, you must wash your hands, and they had all these rules about all these things. And it stemmed from the Levitical laws. Some of those laws were added upon, and Jesus was responding to them. But what he was saying to them is that your laws and your rules, your undue pressure that you're putting on people, is not making you clean. In fact, inside of you is not clean, and out of your heart comes these lies, these untruths. And I see the parallel between the Pharisees and Sadducees and the people of today who deny God's truth of who Jesus was. In fact, when you look at the things that come out of the mouth, these people were plotting to kill Jesus. The very time they were saying, well, you need to be clean, you need to wash your hands. and be clean. But inside them, where was their heart? They were plotting evil, weren't they? They were plotting evil. The heart is wicked. The heart is wicked. People have dirty and unclean and not pure and corrupt thoughts and minds and indications. As I think about our education system, we see that, and we talked about it a lot today, about taking the Bible and its word and doing away with the foundations of what Genesis says, that God created the heavens and the earth. When you take the foundations of your beliefs and do away with it, that belief starts to crumble, doesn't it? And the basic truth is that God is the creator of this earth, and he's the creator of mankind. But we fell to a lie. We believed a lie. And we continue to believe lies when our education system proclaims that to be truth. And as Christians, we need to be very careful to guard ourselves. Jesus made a very good example here of this, in this parallel. And as I looked at it, I thought, well, that's a pretty good analogy. There is nothing outside a person that is going into him that can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. So it's not the food we eat that makes us unclean. It's the what we expel out that makes us unclean, and we need to clean that. And Jesus makes a good example that I just thought it was interesting. He has to say that back to his disciple. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of a man, what we speak out of our heart, come evil. And that's what he says. Makes a analogy of what comes out of us physically is the same as what comes out of our mouth when we do not have the truth in our life. And I don't need to put the words out there for you, but that is what it is. People are spewing excrement out of their mouth when they talk about all these lies. So Jesus says to his disciples, for what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. The disciples, if we look at this other verse in Matthew, when they talked to Jesus about this, the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended? Imagine that. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard that saying? And he answered them. He said, yeah, I knew they were offended. That means they got the point. They knew. And what did Jesus say? He says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. And then he says something that's very sad to me. He says, let them alone. Let them alone. So when we see these doctors, and when I say doctors, there was two doctors on this interview, and one of them is a pediatrician. So she went to university. For how many years you need to become a pediatrician, I don't know, 12, 15. It's a lot. And she has the ability to prescribe medicine. So when these little kids would come to her and tell them that they feel like they're, it's a little boy that feels like he's a little girl or vice versa, she started prescribing medicine to them that has irreversible effects. And to me, it's just horrible to think about that kind of evil. They start puberty blockers on them, and they start these medicines that try to start to change the way their body is growing. And these kids don't know. They have no idea what's happening, but this pediatrician does, and she's willing to do this kind of evil. That is just amazing to me. It's just amazing. And another one has been performing irreversible, well, I say irreversible, but I don't know all the things, but, you know, actual surgical removal of body parts on as young as 16 years old. And it's just a tragedy to see this kind of evil out there. And when people refuse to see that they're performing that kind of evil, and what does Jesus say? He says, let them alone. Let them alone. They'll get their judgment. They're refusing to accept God's word as true. They refuse to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They refuse to even believe that God's word is truth. They want to believe science that says that the world is billions of years old. It went from when I was in school, I think, 150,000 years old, to now it's billions. Wow. Because their science doesn't work. That's why. And Jesus says, God will uproot them. Leave them alone. They will get their judgment. And he's saying that about the Pharisees at this time, who are the ones who are the authority, right? They're the authority. They're the doctors of their world, of their time. He's saying they are blind and they are leading the blind. So a parent who would let their child go down this avenue is being led by a doctor who is blind to the truth. And so it's the blind leading the blind. And that's what he says here. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. God's word leads us out of destruction, out of the pit. But we need to guard our heart, right? How many of us have a perfect heart? How many of us were born with a perfect heart? And when I say heart, our core, how many of us have lived this world and not sinned? All of us. Out of our heart comes evil. Out of our heart comes disobedience. Out of our heart comes our rebellion. Rebellion against our parents, rebellion against God's word, rebellion against God himself. And yet he calls us to come and be renewed. We need to be careful by being led by the blind. The so-called authority of our doctrine, and we need to be even careful about who we listen to preach. And I say that, with that on my mind, I come and preach. I want to stand firm in God's word and be clear and honest and truthful. I think that God's word will teach us and lead us. That being said, let's go back to Mark. That being said, Jesus said, this is what comes out of our heart. This is what comes out of our heart.
You know what?
Evil thoughts.
What did he mean?
Any kind of thoughts that are not according to God's ways, God's teaching, God's destruction, that is an evil thought. Sexual immorality. I believe that one is at the forefront of these lists because it is such a powerful, especially to young people. Andrea and I were coming back from a football game the other night, and I had my vehicle at EMU, and we got off at Port Road, and we drove down through JMU. Well, JMU's back in town, and I think they were having their block party. And I had to drive like this because there's people running around in swimsuits or less. And my wife was very irritated about that by the time we got over to him. And it went from Port Road all the way.
They just were naked.
And I didn't even go by the main JMU. I went straight across. I turned on Port Road and went all the way over to, what is that, 42. And then went into, you know, I didn't want to be around all that. But it was all the way from there clear up to Eastern Minnesota University. The sexual immorality that this country is facing is just, it's a powerful, powerful
what?
Thing. And
what was it,
also sensuality, which is listed there. People do not have a filter on that at all, especially the non-Christian youth of our world. Theft, murder, adultery. We see the abortion issues. We see
what?
All these issues, and it's coming out of people's hearts, and it's rampant. I mean, the
oh yeah.
When I say 100 years ago, we wouldn't have thought of most of these things. We're like, well, that's not in my neighborhood. Now you look on your phone or your computer or the newspaper, and it's everywhere. There's murders,
well,
and all kinds
anyway.
Of things happening within our own communities.
What?
And it's scary. But it's the proof of God's word, it's the truth of God's word, that these things come out of the heart. Slander.
What?
Pride, foolishness, all these things
he could,
come
yes.
from within,
but
and they defile a person. So we're defiled by that. Now I want to look. What do we need to do? I want to take a look at Ezekiel. And y'all don't have to turn to all these pages with me.
Did he die in the hospital?
Yeah.
I got markers in here. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. What are we to do?
36,
25 through 27 says this. God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Praise the Lord, he can give us a new heart, because our heart is not right. We are born, and yet we need to be reborn, right? Let's look at Titus. The scripture talks about being reborn, born again, unless you were born again.
What?
And Titus says, Titus chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves were once foolish, us in here. That's I believe, us. Disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness of the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What's regeneration? Do y'all know what regeneration is?
Oh my goodness.
It's death and then a regeneration, right?
It's supposed to be night.
We have to die to self. We have to be crucified with Christ and regenerated into life again with a new heart. And that's what happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is what happens.
Yeah.
And so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I love that. I love that. And when we were singing today, it's just like God has called me and he's my Savior. And he's going to lead me through this. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. Now I want to go back into Psalm 51. And you can look there with me if you'd like, but I'm gonna end with Psalm 51. And we know the life of David. We know his heart was not always following God's ways, don't we? We can look at his life and think he had some evil thoughts and desires and passions in his heart, and it came to fruition. And David suffered because of it. He suffered because he was a man of war, and he suffered because he allowed passions and desires and lies and envy and murder to enter into his almost all the things that I listed, David allowed to come out of his heart, didn't he? And yet here he says, have mercy on me, wash me, cleanse me, purge me, hide your face from my sins, create in me a clean heart, and cast me not away. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and deliver me. Those are all things that David asked God to do, and he gave us an example of that, giving your life back to God and allowing God to speak to him. I want to read from verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Isn't that amazing that out of David's mouth then would come praises to God, and not out of the mouth comes stuff that defiles us? And out of my mouth I will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. You will not despise a contrite heart. You will not despise a heart that is new and is beating for the Lord. A heart that is not defiling our being. We need to allow the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, all of the truth of God's Word, to permeate our heart and to make it a heart of flesh and not of stone, a heart that is compassionate, caring, empathetic to those suffering, and to not say, let them be. I don't want to just say, let them be. I've had many conversations with a co-worker that grew up in the Mennonite church, and now he professes to not know God. He says there is no God. Why should I believe this? And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up, but he has been believing the untruths of this world. And it's sad, but I can't say just let them be. Because the truth is we live in a broken and fallen world who has the need of a new heart. We need washing and cleansing and regeneration. And perhaps even in our walk, we can have some things enter into our heart that we need to ask God to cleanse, just like David did. David was proclaimed to be a man after God's own heart, and yet he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Why? Because I know my transgressions and my sin are ever before me. Against you only and only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Wash me so that you may be justified in your judgment. That's what David says. Wash me, Lord, so you can be justified in your judgment of me. And purge me, clean me. So if you are here today and you're thinking, well, maybe I have some of these things as I read down through them. In Mark chapter 7, maybe as I read down through them, maybe we've had evil thoughts come out of our heart or out of our mind, out of our center being. Maybe we've had something in that list. I don't know what it would be. But if you have any struggle at all within your heart, if you're harboring anger and animosity towards other people, if God is speaking to you, then as we pray, Lord, may you just ask God to remove that, to clean that up, and to make you new again, so that we can sing, "Create in me a clean heart," with that joy of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your grace that we receive. We thank you for the salvation that we did not deserve, but you give it to us. We accept it. And Father, we know that our hearts can be deceived and are full of wickedness. We need you, Lord, to take the place of that with your Holy Spirit, with a heart that is loving and compassionate and caring and not giving up. Lord, I do not want a heart that gives up on those that I see around suffering with a lack of faith. And Father, if there are any here, Lord, let your Holy Spirit enter them and to remove that spot in their heart, Lord. There is only room for you. And Father, we just ask you to continue to guide and direct us with your truth, with your word, with your love and your grace and your mercy. And we see your unfailing love, Lord. May we walk in accordance with you. May we always be able to give you praise and not defile who we are. Because you are a part of us, Lord, holy and pure. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.